Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And as Chris asked me, what is your favorite red fruit or vegetable? Well, you have to maybe stop and think about that. But I'm guessing that right now tomatoes would be at the top of your list for vegetables if you at all like tomatoes. But a nut, but a fruit kind of one that, well, not kind of, a fruit one is watermelon. And I see lots of people buying watermelon when I go to the store, from little ones to great big ones. And, you know, people talk about, oh, if they're having a picnic, what are we going to have? Well, part of one of the things is I'm going to bring a big watermelon. So it can be pretty refreshing. But as you might guess, I have to talk about the nutritive values too. You know, it's great when what's good for us is also something that we really like to eat, because sometimes that's not the case. But hopefully some fruits and veggies are at the top of your list. And I'm going to talk a minute, too, about one of the questions that if you buy watermelon, if you go to the store, somebody's going to say, well, how do you pick out the best watermelon? I'm going to talk about that a little bit and see if you agree or if you have your own favorite way of picking out the best watermelon. But just why do we talk about fruits and vegetables all the time? Do you get tired of hearing people talk about fruits and vegetables? You know, from the time you were growing up, maybe your mom, your grandma, somebody said, well, you got to eat your vegetables. And as a little kid, you go, that's not at the top of my list. But we have found that when kids get to help grow their fruits and vegetables, they think they're a lot more fun to eat. And of course, that's not always possible to do, but kids are getting more and more opportunities to do that. So why should we eat our fruits and vegetables? Well, hopefully some of them, at least some of them, you think taste really, really good. And another reason is all that nutritive value in them. It, you know, the list goes on in terms of the vitamins and minerals that we get. And then there's all these new things that are being found out by those who study nutrition, you know, all the antioxidants. And I can't even say the names of some of the things they're finding out. And that's a reminder that the study of nutrition is a relatively new science. You know, we think as we hear news about it, well, you know, we better believe all that. And then other people say, oh, I get so frustrated because they tell you one thing and then they tell you another thing. Well, the reason is that there are so many discoveries to be made about food and about the way our bodies use that food, that just expect that news to continue to come to you and that it's not always going to agree. The other, I guess, thing is that fruits and vegetables, for the most part, are low calorie. And we can kind of fill up on them and not raise our calorie level. And, you know, more than 60% of Americans are overweight. And so fruits and vegetables would be a good way to keep the calories down, but keep the good taste up, as well as getting lots of good, healthy kinds of things to eat. And, you know, do you cook them? Do you put them in a recipe? Do you eat them fresh? Well, however you eat them, unless you're dipping them in a whole lot of fat, they are just the best thing ever. But I know sometimes we get tired of eating, for instance, well, maybe you don't, but sometimes we get tired of eating just a fresh sliced tomato. If it's homegrown, some of you are saying, well, that never happens to me. But occasionally it does. And so tomatoes, of course, can be used in many different ways. And actually, I pulled a recipe off the internet from Whole Foods that's called Mediterranean Tomato Salad. Well, what's in there? You know, you chop up tomatoes and you add some onions, some peppers, some garlic, a little bit of oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, and probably, since it's Mediterranean, a little bit of mozzarella cheese. You might add olives. I don't think you need a recipe. Just put it all together, whichever of those kinds of things you like, and you have a salad and get a new taste besides just that savoring the tomato taste. Now, I've been talking to some people who say, oh, tomatoes, I have them. If they're growing tomatoes, they are just in an overabundance of tomatoes right now. So what do you do with them? It's a good question. You know, I know people are giving them away. People are selling them. And, of course, You can put them in the freezer. You can chop them up. You can make them into sauce. You can just do in the freezer many different ways. And the food preservation people won't like me when I say this, but if you're going to use them within a couple of weeks, you can just freeze them without treating them in any other way. But don't leave them in for months at a time. That's not a good idea. If you have some tomatoes that aren't quite ripe, and I do see sometimes, haven't seen this lately, but a whole picnic table full of half-green tomatoes sitting out there in the sunshine, not a good idea. If you get them a little underripe, it's best to let them ripen in indirect sunlight. So maybe under a shade tree, that would work. If you're in a hurry to ripen up tomatoes, then you can put them in a paper bag for a day or so, and it'll just speed up the ripening. If they are nearly ripe or, you know, just almost ripe, they can just sit on your kitchen counter, room temperature, for at least a week. If they are ripe and, you know, ready to be overripe, then you need to put them in the refrigerator. But that flavor and so on just starts deteriorating after several days. If you want the best tomato flavor and you've had them in the refrigerator, be sure to take them out of the refrigerator and let them stand for at least 30 minutes just to warm them up a bit. The flavor will be so much better. So, tomatoes, a great kind of fresh thing we can have now, but later on, you know, we can still have tomatoes in lots of other forms. You know, even ketchup provides the lycopene. That's one of the nutritive values that we talk about in tomatoes. Cooked tomatoes, ketchup, tomato sauce, all those kinds of things that have been canned or frozen, processed, still have the lycopene. So that's a really good plus for tomatoes. Don't take them out of your diet when it means that they're going to be canned or some other way, because they're still good for you. Now, what about watermelons? Watermelon, we're probably going to just get in season. Now, in season may vary or may be quite extended, of course, because we import them from various other states. We don't just get them from Iowa. And locally, we can, and if that's available to you, great, really positive. But if you can't, then you take the ones that come from some other state. Hopefully not some other country, because the nutritive value and so on is going to be much lower when they're shipped from somewhere else. So when you go to get a watermelon, a whole one, of course, you know, if they're already cut, you can take a look at them, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what if it's a whole uncut watermelon? How do you decide which one is the one that you want to buy? Well, the first thing is to consider is the weight. A fully ripened watermelon will feel heavy for its size, so you could pick up several and kind of think which one is the heaviest if they're similar size. Heaviness in a watermelon is a good thing, because the water content of a watermelon will typically increase with ripening, and a fully ripened watermelon will be over 90% weight in terms of weight, and water is one of the heaviest components in any food. Secondly, look for a watermelon with a relatively smooth rind that is slightly dulled on top. The top and the bottom of the watermelon are worth determining and examining. The bottom or underbelly of a watermelon is a spot where it was resting on the ground, and if that ground spot is white or green, the watermelon is unlikely to be fully ripe. A fully ripened watermelon will often have a ground spot that has turned creamy yellow in color. Opposite from the ground spot will be the top of the watermelon. In a fully ripened watermelon, the spot will typically not be shiny, but somewhat dulled. Their green color may appear in many different shades, however, from light green to deeper shades. So you look at the underbelly and the top and take a look at those colors. Perhaps the most controversial about ripeness testing is that thumping. I know you've seen people do that. I've done it myself. And so, and this information comes from Whole Foods, says, we've read many arguments, both pro and con. However, among experts who recommend thumping, most seem to agree that a fully ripened watermelon will have a deeper, hollower bass sound rather than a solid and shallow soprano sound. So I can see you at the market going around thumping on all the watermelons to get this musical tone, but you want a really deep tone for that heavy watermelon. And finally, in some grocery stores, the produce people will cut a little plug out of it and let you see it. And, of course, you want it to be deep or red, not pink. And even the nutritive value changes with that as the color changes from the very light pink to the deeper pink or red, the nutritive value increases. And, by the way, the nutritive value also changes within the watermelon. The part that you probably don't eat, that kind of white rind, hey, when a ripened watermelon, it also has lots of nutritive value. So until next time, just mind those people who say, eat your fruits and vegetables.